listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I'm going to share with you the Word of the Lord right now. So take your Bibles and turn with me to the Epistle of Ephesians. We're going to look into the New Testament this morning. We're actually going to look into Ephesians. We're going to look into the book of Acts. And we're going to talk about what this day is all about. So let's look at Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want to look at just the last part of verse number 18. It's going to come off as a declarative this morning. And that means the scripture is going to say something for us, and I trust that we can embrace the word of the Lord. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the latter portion of that verse says, "Be filled with the Spirit." Five simple words. Be filled with the Spirit. We said this a little earlier today, but I want to remind you that we are here celebrating what is known in the church community as Pentecost Sunday. So here's the question for you. What do we actually mean when we say Pentecost Sunday? What is it actually? Historically speaking, Pentecost was a Jewish feast day which occurred 50 days. That's where you get the phrase penta, which is 50. 50 days after Passover. So if you were to take the calendar and mark off the days from Passover to today, that would be 50 complete days. 7 weeks plus one gives you Penti. And so Pentecost Sunday is that Sunday that follows the Jewish feast day, Passover. This feast of Pentecost, however, was primarily a thanksgiving in the Old Testament for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. But later, if you study the Old Testament, you will see it is associated with a remembrance of the law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. So it took on another significant meaning. Now, moving forward to the New Testament, it was on this Jewish feast day that God chose to introduce two new phenomena. And here's what they are. Number one, the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and other believers. There were 120 gathered in the upper room, seeking and pursuing God, and God's Spirit descended upon those 120 on this celebration day called Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and great power came upon those believers. Next, secondly, the second phenomena is the birthing of the church. David eloquently shared with us some of that in the early part of the service. And if you recall, some of the worship songs that we began the service with had to do with the strength and the birthing and the prominence of the church. The church are the blood-washed believers who follow after Jesus Christ. This phenomena was and is for the purpose of empowering the church to fulfill its assignment on this earth, given to us by Jesus. Now, in case you've forgotten what that assignment was to the church, let me remind you this morning, because it's recorded in Matthew 28. Here's what Jesus says. He says we're to go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and we're to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's simply the words of Jesus. How many know that's a great assignment? It's a lofty assignment. It's a huge responsibility. And you cannot get this assignment done on your own. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, you've been called to live a life that emulates Jesus. So have I. So our lives need to be Christ-like. And this too cannot be done in our own strength. We need Jesus every day, by the way. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to be our helper. And you cannot will yourself to change your sinful patterns or to choose right. You need the Holy Spirit working in your life to overcome the works of darkness. And this is what we call the exchanged life. Simply Christ in you. So let me explain this, if I can, this morning in a way that you can get your head around the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When you're born again, when you get saved, when you get converted, we'll use those words, when you see a change come into your life, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and you invite Jesus to be your Savior in your life. Let me say this. Every person who receives Jesus into their life has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Let me back up a little bit. You're kind of got that owls on a power line look at me this morning. Every person who has received Jesus into their life has the Holy Spirit resident within their spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus resident within their life. Then further, let me say this. We are empowered with the Holy Spirit to live boldly for God. And this is clearly explained in the book of Acts, chapter number 19. And I'm going to encourage you to turn there this morning. Paul here comes to the church that is now gathering in the city of Ephesus. And when he goes to this church in Ephesus, he finds a number of believers in Christ as a result of the ministry of Apollos. Apollos was a New Testament evangelist. The scripture says here that he is at this point in time in the city of Corinth. But he was there with the believers earlier on in Ephesus. And let's pick up the story in the 19th chapter, verse number 1. And we're going to read a few verses here together. And it came to pass about that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. So the story says that when he arrives in this city of Ephesus, there are believers there, disciples. They came to know Jesus through the ministry of Apollos. We look at verse 2, and he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now let's stop for a moment. How many know you've got a room full of believers here who received Jesus? And I just told you that when people receive Christ into their lives, the Holy Spirit takes residence up within their life. That's not a contradiction here. So let's dig a little deeper in this passage of Scripture. Paul asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No. We have not heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So let me say it again. There is no contradiction. So there must be something more to be added to this passage, or not to the passage, but to our understanding of the passage, and that is that the Holy Spirit can come to us for a significant purpose of filling us with his presence, the presence of Jesus. So let's back up. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Remember, these are Christians. These are believers. And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." In other words, they were baptized in water for the remission of their sins. And Paul says John's baptism with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe on him, that is Jesus, who was coming after him, and that is, of course, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there was a rebaptism going on in terms of their water baptism. They were baptized unto Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul then lays his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesied. This experience is subsequent to salvation. We understand that according to the commands of Jesus, we're to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be baptized in water. And now we're learning that it's significant for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that their lives can be empowered to serve Jesus. In other words, have you been filled? We see that in the book of Ephesians, Paul challenges us to be filled with the Spirit. This command is for every believer. I'm going to break this down for you a little later on in this service, but I do need you to understand the Greek word for filled here means controlled. It literally means to be permeated, thoroughly influenced, overcome by a greater power than your own. And so the Holy Spirit takes up residency within us so that we can live our lives according to the way that Jesus wants our lives lived. Now, we in this room all know what it's like to be filled with pain. At some point in time, you may have experienced that in your physical body. You know what it's like to have joy in your life, or maybe even sorrow. Being filled with excruciating pain, for example, How many know that when you stub your toe, your whole body seems to go in a whole different mode because of the excruciating pain that is being exhibited by your little toe? So I read a little thing this past week that said the job description of your little toe is to rearrange the furniture in your house. How many banged your little toe on some furniture? Well, I'm trying to tell you that when you do that, the pain that exists in your little toe pretty much takes over your whole life. And you are walking differently. You put different shoes on. There's a whole lot of things that start happening when you experience pain in your little toe. Being filled with the Holy Spirit has a similar effect on our life. He comes to take control of our being. Scripture says, that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Tells us not to be drunk with wine. That's debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit's design for us is to lead us into the full measure of what God has for us. I want to give you four essential truths around being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what I've said to this moment is that it's essential that we come to faith, come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in our life. The Holy Spirit takes up residency within us. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within them. We are to be baptized in water. That's the command of Jesus, because that is an outward demonstration to every onlooker of a change of government in our life, that we're on a new path to follow after the Lord. And then there comes this subsequent experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we are energized or empowered to live our lives boldly for God, much like what you see we read in the book of Acts, chapter 19, with these Ephesian believers. I want to take it yet another step further. You and I have been commanded by Scripture to be filled and even refilled. And I'm going to try to help you understand what it means in this respect this morning. I'm going to give you four essential truths around the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The first truth is the filling is commanded by the Lord. God is not giving us a mild, optional suggestion. I said earlier in this service is that we can't live for God in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit energizing us, empowering us. So God's not giving us a mild suggestion here. It sounds like this. If you've got some extra time, maybe you might want to consider being filled with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't approach it that way. It's a bold command. He says, be filled. And because God commands it, how many know we know it's possible. Because when God tells us to be filled, we have the capability of being filled. We know it's possible. We are never commanded in Scripture to be indwelt or sealed by the Spirit. These are God's work. This work has already been done for us at conversion. But we are commanded to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want you to differentiate between those two great ideas. The second essential truth is that the filling is passive. Now think back with me to your grammar class in school, okay? Let's get this English assignment down this morning. So when you think back to your grammar class, we're not the subject of the sentence. We do not perform the filling. We are the object being acted upon. God is implied as the source, and when we ask Him, the Scripture says, He will fill us. Okay? Not any more complicated than that. We cannot do it ourselves. It's the work of God in our life. The third thing that we need to grasp this morning is that the filling is for everyone. I want to make that point this morning. This is the position of God's Word, the Scripture. In the original Greek, the understood you here is plural. So this filling is a widespread, universal offer for every believer, not one exclusive to the spiritual elite. So every one of God's children can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Plain and simple as that. It's for all God's children, so it's got to be for you and me this morning. Here's the fourth essential truth that's huge for us to realize. The filling is not permanent. Think about that for a second. Rather than be filled, some translations use the wording be continually filled. In other words, it's ongoing. We're to be continuously filled day by day. Never in the New Testament do we see a believer baptized by the Holy Spirit more than once. I'm messing with your doctrine now. Check me out. But we do see multiple fillings by the Holy Spirit. Check out Acts 2:4, Acts 4:8, Acts 9:17, Acts 13, verse number 9, for starters. Like your car. After usage, how many know you got to go back to the gas station? You got to get refueled. You got to get filled up again. And if you drive an electric car, you might pass a gas station, but you're certainly not going to pass up a charging station. So, whatever the case, you've got to come to terms with the fact that you need to be refilled. Be filled with the Spirit. I hope I'm making this clear to you this morning, because Ephesians 5:18 is a clear command. We don't have to worry how to apply this teaching. We just simply need to be filled. Yes. Even imperfect you. And your feelings of inadequacy and exhaustion. We just need to get right with the Lord and get filled. John, 1 John chapter 1, 9 says, confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're candidates to be filled with the Spirit. So all we got to do is just simply pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. This is Pentecost Sunday, 2023. We believe the Holy Spirit does descend like he did 2,023 years ago on the day of Pentecost, or thereabouts, give or take a few years. The Holy Spirit visited 120 believers, and they were forever changed. So much the case that they turned the known world upside down. I'm going to be speaking on that here in a Sunday or two up and coming about the world being turned upside down by Holy Spirit-filled people. What would Grays Harbor County look like if the church was Holy Spirit filled? Oh, it'd look a lot different than it is today. I'm here to tell you. But I am believing for a flood of God's presence to come to this region like we've never seen before. And the Holy Spirit will descend. Not only will we see more signs and wonders, not only will we be seeing more people brought into the kingdom of God, but I'm believing that it'll also change the atmosphere of this whole region. Because how many know when Jesus shows up, nothing stays the same? Things change. And by the way, you got to get used to the idea of change. Don't get stuck in a rut. I've said it before. Do you know what a rut is? It's nothing more than a grave with the ends knocked out. So you don't get comfortable in a rut because that's a dead end. You don't want to be in a grave. You want to be a vibrant, living, as David said, organism on the planet called the church, representing Jesus every day of our lives. And we get to do that because we are not failures. We've been filled with the Spirit, and God is working in and through our life. Stand to your feet if you would, please. What I want to do this morning is I want to invite you to the gas pump. I want to invite you to the charge station right now. If you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, today is your day. Come, get filled with the Spirit. And by the way, you don't even have to slip your credit card into the little slot. Or go to the pay station and give the attendant $100 for your fill-up. I'm getting nervous about the price of gas. All you got to do is just yield to Jesus and let him fill you this morning so you can have a super human week this week, representing Jesus. We got a powerful prayer team that will pray for you. I want you to come forward if you want. Today is your day to be filled again. Oh, by the way, if you've never had this experience in your life of being filled, this day is your day too. I've already prayed a prayer with you about commitment to Jesus, so we seal that deal. We got that base covered. Jesus has already healed many of you in this room. I mean, we're grateful for that. That's good. Right now, we want to see you filled to overflowing with His presence. And I've given you four essentials here that you cannot overlook. They're important. The one I want to bring out to you is that this is for everyone, every child of God, every believer. But I also want to encourage you on the fact that as your Holy Spirit tank, can I use that phrase, gets drained, I want you to have enough self-discipline to get to a gas station before you run out of gas. Go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to refill you. You don't have to come to church to get refilled. It's a good place to get refilled. You get refilled right in your own home. You get refilled wherever you choose to plug into Jesus and let His Holy Spirit impact you. We want to help you today. This is like the state of Oregon, where you don't pump gas into your own car. Some guy comes along and helps you. We want to help you this morning get refilled. All right? So if it's your desire to be filled or refilled, I want you to step forward. We're going to enjoy God's filling today. Amen? I just want to thank you for being here this morning. And as people start gathering here, I just want to say it's great for us gathering. Oh, by the way, I do have to say, Byron's brother and Byron's mother, all the way from Ecuador, are here today. This is good. All right, guys. This is your refueling moment. Come, get touched by the presence of God this morning. We want to pray for you. If you must go, service is dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week. Walk in the strength of Jesus in a powerful way.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.